years. The second is to really focus on the public realm, and already that's happened. I mean, the commission has spent a lot of time on that subject, and staff has too, but put a finer point out. Really make sure that what I call the first 30 feet vertically, sort of the building, that people can see and touch and react to, and the first 30 feet horizontally, the sidewalk, the public realm, the street trees, the lights, the seating, make sure that room, if you will, that shared living room, really is the best it can be and the most varied and diverse and artfully done and expertly done, really thoughtfully done, really, really work that, and insist that people think about it. I mean, don't show the building where the ground floor is like this big. You can't even see what's going on. Blow it up. Take it. Examine where the entrance is, what it looks like, what are the windows, what's the detailing, what's the overhang for weather protection, what's the sense of entering, and work it like you work your own living room.
So I'm sorry to interrupt. Yes. Could you maybe try to summarize, because yep. I'm conscious that we've got an yep. hour and the people okay. waiting to testify. So.
And then the last is just the third leg of the stool, so to speak, is bearing down on quality and permanence and what all that might mean. So there's a whole host of other recommendations for standards that are more sort of detailed, but I think that sort of captures the essence of it.
Thank you very much for yep. all your work.
Excellent.
So we do have some testifiers signed up. Carlo said about 8 testifiers, but before they start, we'd like to invite the chairs of both the Design Commission and the Planning and Sustainability Commission to come and share some of the initial thoughts those commissions had.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Excellent presentation.
Thank you for all your work.
Hello and welcome, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We didn't talk about who goes first. Are you okay with that?
Let's go from left to right, I guess.
I'll go after her.
Oh. Sounds good.
It doesn't matter.
So good afternoon. I'm Catherine Schultz. I'm chair of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, also known as the PSC. Some of you may know or remember that I also served on the Design Commission. Seems like years ago. About over 5 years ago. And I am an architect, so I've also had the pleasure of being an applicant. Today I'm here representing the PSC, and I'm joined by my fellow commissioner, Eli Spivak.
Thank you.
As stewards of the Comprehensive Plan and Climate Action Plan, the PSC is keenly interested in developing and maintaining the zoning code to carry out the goals and policies of those plans. As our city grows, we're vested in ensuring high-quality development and an efficient design review process that aligns with those goals and policies. We therefore support the recommendations of the DOZA report. During the next phase of DOZA, we encourage additional focus and refinement in a number of areas as outlined in our letter. Today, I'll highlight just a few of the more critical points. One, the design review thresholds need to be right-sized based on impact. Removing regulatory barriers will allow innovation and testing of new systems, and it can give small developers and property owners a chance to succeed while furthering the equity goals in our comp plan. This is in alignment, this next one, with Commissioner Fritz's comment. The thresholds need to be refined in conjunction with updating the community design standards and the community design guidelines. That will ensure that projects of lesser impact, if they're not part of the full discretionary process, will meet a clear set of standards and maintain the unique character of our centers and corridors. The community involvement is a critical component of the comp plan. We strongly support improving public education and notification to ensure inclusivity. The purpose of the design overlay requires updating to reflect our goals and policies with particular attention to equity. Additionally, it needs to reconcile the tension between compatibility and change and clearly outline the objectives of discretionary review. We support removing FAR, height, and setbacks from design review's purview in order to meet our comp plan density goals. Many of the report's recommendations are applicable to historic resource review. The Historic Landmarks Commission needs to be included in this process as well. The implementation and recommendations in this report is critical to supporting the increased intensity of development in our centers and corridors while ensuring that the public has the opportunity to engage in the process. We believe that further development and implementation of the DOSA recommendations will ensure that we effectively support high-quality design during this period of rapid growth in our city. And now I'd like to turn it over to Eli to say a few words.
Thank you.
No, go ahead.
We'll go out in this order. My name is Eli Spivak. I'm a developer and general contractor and serve on the Planning Commission for a little bit over the past year. So I'm going to add a few detailed points beyond what Kat mentioned. When people hear Central City, most people think of probably downtown and don't realize how expansive the Central City is. It includes the Lake District out to 16th, the East Side out to 12th, Lower Albina, Goose Hollow, a lot of residential neighborhoods and commercial mixed-use zones. And one suggestion we had is to acknowledge that some of the parts of the Central City are more similar to the mixed-use corridors than they are to downtown. And so one option going forward would be to say that although Portland is allowed to treat the highest level of mandatory discretionary review for all of Central City, we don't have to do the whole Central City. Portland could select sub-districts. There are 10 districts in the Central City. And say that the highest level of design review applies to those. And other portions of the Central City would also have design review, but it would be more of the level of the mixed-use zones. So that would be one recommendation we came up with. We also had the chance through the DOSA process of having joint meeting with the design review, design commission, which was really informative for us and I think for them. And it's impossible for any volunteer to serve on both those bodies at once. But we recommend that the design commission, as they do their annual presentations to city council, that they also bring those annual presentations to the planning commission so we understand more of the issues that they're wrestling with and have at least that form of communication between the commissions. On the three tenets, being context, elevating the public realm, and quality and sense of permanence, we thought those were a really helpful way of categorizing the lenses through which the design commission reviews projects. We also had some debate over whether there should be prioritization. There was not consensus on the Planning Commission on that, but I'll speak for myself personally. I hope the Design Commission really focuses on the public realm element because in representing the public, that's the primary way we interact with our buildings, our landscape, and some commissions, like in Denver, Design Commission doesn't even look beyond the first few floors of a building. They really focus in on having a fantastic ground floor. We rely on the Design Commission for that because if we're adding density to some areas, we want people to have positive experiences with that increased density. One other recommendation that we support from the report particularly is reducing the threshold for smaller projects for design review, specifically to encourage fine-grained development patterns, funkiness, only applicable to smaller buildings on smaller sites, like 5,000 square feet or less. Because thinking back in time, some of the most treasured commercial and mixed-use zones we have were built exactly that way. Small buildings on small lots, 5,000 or less. And those are what people are saying we want to see more of, so we should make that easy to do. And lastly, to the roles that the different commissions have, you guys are experiencing right now the situation of when something gets appealed to City Council. And through the Planning Commission process we go through to establish certain entitlements like FAR, height limit, and setbacks, we take enormous amounts of public input, set the rules for that. And developers, when they look at property, they expect reasonably that they can do what the zoning code says they can do. Currently, the Design Commission has in the code a series of factors through which they can review projects. And it includes things that are more design-related, like colors, building materials, open areas, architectural style, placement. And it also includes in the list dimensions, height, bulk, lot coverage. So really, as currently authorized, the charter for the Design Commission spans design-related things and also things many people think of as entitlements. We think that this sets up a stage where the public and you and Design Commission get drawn into things that have already been litigated through the Planning Commission and through City Council to establish those entitlements. And concur with the recommendation of this report to clarify the scope of these two different commissions. We, on the Planning Commission, rely on the Design Commission to ensure that these buildings have, you know, fantastic, enhance the public realm, are well-designed, have a higher level of scrutiny than other projects in the city. And if they don't, then the design commission is going to take the heat. If there are serious situations where we zone higher density in certain areas, more intense development, because we've got massive public infrastructure there, then if people are unconcerned about that, either we went too high or too low, then we can and do take the heat. And I fear that if the commissions have overlapping purviews, then what will happen is you'll see many more projects being appealed to city council, in which case you will have to be the arbiters of these issues and take public testimony time, which won't serve developers well because they'll go through a more involved process. It won't serve the public well because they'll have to spend more time. Whenever there's an opportunity to weigh in on something people care about, they're going to take that opportunity, and it will use more of your time. So I hope that as part of this process, we can clarify roles so that we can support one another in the elements we focus on.
Thank you, sir.
And so you don't need our permission for the Planning and Sustainability Commission to invite the Design Commission to have a joint meeting, right?
Correct.
So I think that's a good idea, but I'm also concerned about a bait and switch that the whole of last year when we were discussing heights and appropriate zoning, there was the fail-safe that things would go through design review, and that's the practice for many, many years has been that you may not be able to get to the entire height that you may be entitled to because you can't meet the design guidelines, and that has been a safeguard for neighborhoods.
Can I weigh in on this for a second? Because this is an important point to make with all of this. I'm sorry if I interrupted. I apologize. Go ahead.
Well, I say we may not all be on the same page on that. I think that for some, the expectation is that entitlements are there and the design commission has a different purview.
Well, we do need to have, and I don't know whether it's part of this project or a separate project, but it is something that communities are extremely concerned about. And as I said, which I, when in viewing what we put on the comprehensive plan last year on the maps, felt I could do some of them because I knew there'd be design review and that compatibility would be taken into it.
Okay, well, I guess I'll say I think compatibility is definitely part of the design criteria. Maybe I'll let Kat speak.
No, I'd like to. I'm sorry, Eli, but just clarify one thing. I think we're agreeing that the thresholds need to be looked at, and it could be. It's just what scale needs to go through design review. Let's say in all of the corridors, and perhaps there's a smaller scale that we can make some pretty clear guidelines that the neighborhoods are comfortable with. And you're absolutely right. The neighborhoods have to be a part of process of perhaps what we can put in the code that makes them comfortable.
I heard that, but what I heard Commissioner Spivak say is that developers should be entitled to the maximum FAR height. Bulk that they're allowed under the zoning code, and that is a change in practice that would need a lot of discussion.
Very good. Good afternoon.
All right, good afternoon. David Wart, Chair of the Design Commission. And I'd just like to, before I start my part, I'd like to just dovetail on what they've talked about. We actually looked at this and researched for the last 4 years where commission has weighed in on height and FAR, and there is no case for base FAR where we've reduced it, or height. We've increased height, actually, through modifications on base height and base FAR. Where we have reduced FAR, I think on two or three cases, was on bonus FAR. So there's a distinction there on what is, by right, the base FAR and height, and what you earn through bonuses. So just to set the record straight. So this almost might be a solution looking for a problem. I'm not sure. But I just want to start out my section by saying, on behalf of all the commissioners, we love Portland. Can I say that out loud? Is that all right? We love Portland. We commit so much of our time to making it a better city. And so why else would we do this other than we love Portland? And we serve as a bridge between the vision and planning process of the future of Portland and the realities of building design and development and construction. And in this role, we see a very personal side of change, the challenges, successes, and impacts to neighborhoods, applicants, staff, and to commissioners. Over the past year, we've offered our perspective to DOZA, and for the most part, our perspective has been incorporated into the report, but we still have some differences. I'm not going to go over those in any detail, but there is much work to be done. As Mark stated at his last briefing to Design Commission, Portland has a reputation for moving the bar forward in terms of urban design and design excellence and urban excellence. And to retain the qualities of Portland that make it special, Design Review and Design Commission will continue to be an important part of that process. And to continue to move the bar forward, we feel there are three points that need to be incorporated in all discussions as we do move forward. One, to affirm the aspirations and qualitative goals of Design Review. Two, to craft a reasonable process that's fair, open, and evenly applied. And we could argue what reasonable means. But starting with that term seems to be middle ground. And three, update the set of tools to support numbers one and two, such as updating the design guidelines might be the first part of that. The Design Commission is in support of the Dozer report, and as we move forward, we are fully committed to the design review process and the product for the betterment of the city we all love. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much, and thank you all for your service.
Thank you.
Very good. So we have public testimony now. And when people come up, please just state your name for the record. If you're a lobbyist, please state so. If you're with an organization, it would be helpful if you state that as well. We'll have 3 minutes of testimony. 30 seconds before your 3 minutes is up, you'll see a yellow light. And then when your time is up, there's a red light and the world's most obnoxious beeping noise. You can't miss it. Carla.
The first three are John Spencer, Bob Boileau, and Jean Gaelic.
Come on up. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
So far, so good.
Well, my name is Bob Boileau. I'm an architect and planner in the city of Portland. I first want to take some time and reintroduce our group to the city council. For almost 20 years, the AIA Urban Design Panel has been actively involved in the Portland design process, even hosting for the last 4 years with Mayor Hales, a state of a design discussion. And I believe I owe the mayor a phone call pretty soon to talk about the next 4 years.
Very good.
In the past, before DAR, design advice request, was developed, the AIA Urban Design Committee acted as a resource for design projects first coming before the Design Commission. 5 years ago, we joined forces with the American Planning Association, APA, the American Society of Landscape Architects, ASLA, to create the AIA, APA, ASLA Urban Design Panel. We're in search of a better name if you have it. But many of our members, panel members, either come before the Design Commission for presentations or projects, or in John's case, has served as a past chair of the Design Commission. Recently, in 2004, teaming up with the City Club of Portland, sponsoring design workshops at the Center of Architecture Building on design review process in the city with our three professions, design commissioners, city staff, developers, and the public. We continued this process with Mark Henshaw through the Dozer process, hosting several workshops with our professional colleagues, long meetings with our executive committee that both John and I serve on, to move the process forward. We strongly support this study and have expressed that in the support of our position paper that hopefully you've had a chance to read. I'm going to let John discuss a little bit more in detail our recommendations and how we hope to proceed and continue our involvement through the design review process of the report and how our group in the future can provide a conduit to our three professional organizations.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is John Spencer. I'm an urban designer and planner in Portland and serve with Bob on the executive committee of the Urban Design Panel. I'd like to maybe echo David's comment about our group because I think we're a group of professionals that also truly love Portland, and we're our professional lives are really kind of, and our decisions about being here have a lot to do with about the quality of this place. Portland is a model for the integration of the public realm with private development over time, and it's based on rigorous planning and solid process, and that's the design review process. Maintaining and improving design review is critical to enhancing Portland's international reputation as a livable city. We support Mark's recommendations to focus on the public realm and on context as really the two kind of key elements of design review, and particularly related to maintaining this place as a quality place to live and a quality place to visit. We enthusiastically support the work done as part of the Dozer project and the recommendations that are in the final report. We urge the city, both the bureaus that would be involved in this council, to aggressively implement all of the priority recommendations contained in the report as soon as possible. A long or piecemeal approach to taking on these implementation recommendations we don't think will solve the problems that Mr. Henshaw has convincingly identified. We would like to be here in less than a year voicing our support for basically taking all the implementation recommendations, the priority implementations, going through the necessary process to vet those detailed recommendations and coming before the council and supporting those recommendations. We also think that some of the recommendations that really are geared around revising and relooking at community design standards and design guidelines. Right now, the design guidelines are in 60, 70 pages of documentations. Let's make the hard decisions and get that number down to 10 or 15 pages. Finally, our group, and again, they're made up of professionals that are involved in design review and development all around in the Portland region and elsewhere. We pledge to help and participate and really contribute to this next step of implementation. We've been very active participants so far, and we would like to continue to do that.
Great. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm Jeannie Gaelic. I'm not with him.
Can you pull the microphone just a little bit closer to you, please?
My name is Jeannie Gaelic, and I'm a longtime Willamette Greenway advocate. Thank you. And I've been in front of all of the commissions and council many times because of that. Through DOZA, we should not just streamline the processes, but ensure better planning solutions. And one important way is to add both a natural resource expert and a sustainability expert to the design commission. Yes, expand it. As climate and environmental issues become ever more critical, it is vital that they are considered as an integral element of any design. The current makeup of the Design Commission makes it inevitable that little weight or attention is given to these issues. This is a real opportunity for Portland to demonstrate its leadership by making sure that climate, sustainable practices, and natural resources are considered with each design, especially all these major designs. Secondly, the north and south reaches of the Greenway really need help. Their guidelines are flabby and they're outdated. Council can make this a planning priority, and development is happening now. Until that time, though, there are steps that council can take through the DOZA process to foster a healthier riverine environment. Current regulations call for a paltry 25-foot setback. We all recognize that that is too little. But until it is expanded, as it should be, DOZA could require new construction or remodels or retrofits along the Greenway to have stepbacks in height with low elevations and lush native landscaping facing the trail. This would enhance both wildlife habitat and the user experience. And it's very important that the Greenway, any development along the Greenway, have a Type 3 review. And lastly, as a neighborhood activist, I would say it's very important to somehow conflate the community standards with the key tenets of any district design overlay. We have spent years as citizens forming those design guidelines for a particular district. I happen to be in the McAdam Plan District. And it's important that the elements that we fought so hard for are retained. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, all three of you. Next three, please.
The next two will be Madeline Kovacs and Doug Klotz.
And are these the last two?
We have two more who want to come together.
Two more. Very good. Thank you. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. That's on. All right, I'm Doug Klotz. I live in the Richmond neighborhood, and I have for 25 years. I'm going to add to my... Oh, actually... because I see a lack of explanation of the state mandate for clear and objective standards. I don't know if you've heard of other cities where design review and that processes like that are used to keep housing out of neighborhoods. That's a tool that the neighborhoods use to slow down and keep housing out of their neighborhoods. So the state law, apparently since the 80s, I didn't know when it started, requires that where needed housing is being built, and that's another thing to define, but that clear and objective, there has to be an alternative path. You could have the option of design review, or there has to be a set of clear and objective standards that the developer or builder can come in, meet these standards, submit their permit, and get the permit. And that's Portland, and that was, that was to keep housing from being held up by processes that are sometimes unclear, vague, discretionary, and it could be a design commission or council, any body that has discretion over it, is sometimes in some political situations used to slow things down or stop them. So that's why the state law was passed, in my understanding. Portland, the law allows Portland to have mandatory design review in Central City and Gateway. At least that's how my understanding is how Portland and the state worked out a deal. And that will be true in the expanded areas as well. And the design review in the new areas will still be part of that, there has to be that two-track process. Now, some developers will choose to use the design review because they don't want to meet the standards. The standards, some developers, an architect friend of mine says, well, it's pretty easy to meet the design standards. You do this, this, and this, and that. And we prefer to do that because they're doing a three-story apartment building. They don't want to go through the hassle and the uncertainty of what might happen if they go through design review and a design staff or commissions get something in their mind to do, and it turns out to be an expensive thing. So they prefer to avoid that. So that's why we have the standards, and I would be in favor of keeping that arrangement. Actually, the recommendation of the report is to remove that mandatory design review from Gateway because to help the small property owners are trying to do these small projects. Okay. What I haven't hit is I agree with what Commissioner Schultz said from making it clear that when Type 3 or Type 2 design review is applied, these should not be reduced. The entitlements in the zoning code for height or FAR or otherwise reduce the bulk of the building. And Commissioner Wark from the Design Commission seemed to say that basically the same thing. They had not been doing that, so there shouldn't be an issue with putting that in a prescriptive code in there. I think that covers it. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Madeline Kovacs, and I'm the coordinator for the Portland for Everyone Coalition. We urge the city to support the recommendation to clarify that the scope of design review doesn't include changes to base entitlements given by long-range planning and zoning, potentially reducing the number of homes in designated high-capacity areas, to better align development and design review process to lessen delays and costs, which can impact both availability and affordability, to allow the type of review to be appropriate for the size of the project with clear and objective standards, to consider where outside the central city the D overlay may not be appropriate, and weigh its application carefully with potential impact on affordability where that is an issue. In particular, consider allowing nonprofit developers and/or affordable housing projects to meet a different set of clearly defined standards. We also encourage the city to consider that any limitations on entitlements and therefore new housing will, by virtue of the recently adopted inclusionary housing program, also result in potential loss of permanently affordable housing in our most well-connected, amenity-rich areas. There are two recommendations by the Planning and Sustainability Commission we also wanted to highlight, which is the great improvements to public process to increase inclusivity and our commitment to equity in the city. And differentiating between more intense central city and sub-district and those less intense sub-districts to reflect the unique character of those neighborhoods. Lastly, we encourage the city to always consider the de-overlay and any project, really, in light of its stated long-range planning goals, namely the Climate Action Plan and the Comprehensive Plan's equity and anti-displacement goals. And I can't resist because I have a minute left, and I am I come to urban planning and housing advocacy from actually a decade of youth climate organizing and advocacy at the UN and beyond. I want to end with a quote that I read today from one of my favorite current authors on the topic. The benefits of compact communities are ubiquitous in the past three decades' research on cities. Indeed, the main lesson of that entire body of work is that transit-rich, walkable, mixed-use, mixed-income communities are critical ingredients to a sustainable future. Local officials shouldn't have to prove this any more than they have to prove that hydro and wind-powered electricity is better for the planet than the coal power that many Rust Belt cities rely on. And that's it.
Good. Thank you. Good quote.
Thanks.
Thank you both.
The last two are Kristen Miner and Julie Livingston.
Last but not least.
Last but not least.
Very good.
My name is Kristen Miner, and I'm the vice chair of the Historic Landmarks Commission. So I want to first thank the Planning and Sustainability Commission for recognizing that landmarks should be involved. We did have a briefing on this and wrote you a letter. I also want to acknowledge Commissioner Udaly came to our retreat last week, and that was a really nice gesture. So I wanted to appreciate that in public. There's a couple components of the proposal that I'd like to pull out of our letter, so I'm certainly not going to read everything, but just make a couple highlights here, and then I'd like to also address a couple of concepts that we heard here today. So first off, I will start with just the recommendation really for changing the thresholds of review. For the Landmarks Commission, of course, our processes align very closely with that of the Design Commission. In fact, pretty much identical. So many of these recommendations would apply directly to our commission. But then our goals and responsibilities shift a little bit. So I would say that in terms of the thresholds for determining a review, as it relates to the Landmarks Commission and Design Commission, I would say how much a project affects the public realm should not lose its importance in terms of where that threshold is. I mean, we've been talking a lot about cost and bulk of a project, but there's also just the factor of changes at the street level having a much greater impact on the public realm than changes, you know, for instance, at the rooftop of a project. And that actually ties in to the three tenets of design that this study calls out, one of being elevate the public realm. Another thing I want to talk about is just to strongly encourage and push the idea of public engagement even further. I think the study is asking for greater input from neighborhood associations. We strongly support that idea and, in fact, would encourage applicants to reach out even in the planning phase of a project and perhaps then have the neighborhood associations report back to BDS that they have heard from that applicant. So make them an important step in the process. Finally, though, I would like to address the idea that height and FAR be taken out of design review and possibly historic review. So it's been suggested.
Could we extend the same courtesy to the?
Certainly.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It's been suggested that these two kind of measures of the bulk of a project are entitlements. And for the Landmarks Commission in particular, but also for design review, This idea would remove the ability of the commission to take context into consideration. So, you know, the idea that we can get a project fully into an approvable context just by color or small-scale design changes is incorrect. So I personally think the issue is that developers aren't perhaps fully understanding that there may not be a route to the full, quote-unquote, entitlement on each and every site. I would say that in my experience, Landmarks Commission has never had to actually tell a developer, we can't get there. We have worked with developers through sometimes 3-4 hearings, if necessary, to try to help them reshape the bulk of their project. And we almost always can get to yes. But taking that tool away from either commission would be a problem, and I think especially in historic districts. So that's all I have today. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. So last but not least, we'll invite Sandra, Laura, Kara, and Mark back to the table to see if there's any further questions or concluding thoughts. We're obviously not going to take our vote today. This is a non-emergency first reading, so we're simply going to pass it on to the second reading.
I think it's reports. So I think we do, actually.
You're correct. I'm incorrect. It is a report, so we'll entertain a motion in a second at the will of the City Council.
So we have about an inch-thick report here from our consultant. Mm-hmm. We heard the challenge laid down by the AIA to get this done in a year. Tell me we can do that. I mean, sometimes processes overcome.
You also, I think you heard some tensions also from some of the testifiers and some differences of opinions. I've probably done 25 projects in the city.
You have.
Recap, as you know, if I've brought 8 of those forward, those are minor policy technical amendments where we all agree to what the problem statement is and we all know what the parameters are, and those take a year. Principally because we try to do quite a bit of public outreach. When we work with community members, they like 2 months at a minimum for comment, because community groups meet once a month, and if we lose their cycle, then we come forward. So our legislative process itself takes 6 months going through one commission. This is a little more complicated in that we have 2 commissions, if not 3. So I think that's one of the challenges, and one of the things we're going to be working on in the next 2 months is just talking internally and speaking to our commissioners in charge about what the work plan is, what can be done quickly, maybe in a year's time. Certainly some of the process improvements that don't require code amendments, that aren't legislation and law changes. And Kara's been working with her team, as has been mentioned, on already instituting some of those implementation changes. So some of the answers are, we're already there, and some of them are.
Yeah, I guess, you know, with all due respect, and I have a lot of respect for you, Sandra, and all of you, but, I mean, at some point, you know, if this turns into another comprehensive plan process, it really undercuts, I think, what we're trying to do here.
No, it won't be. Definitely not that.
You're telling me it's going to take more than a year. You'd probably say it's going to take a couple of years.
I would say
18 months. That undermines the urgency of getting this done.
18 months? We can. 18 months is my guess right now. I haven't scoped the project yet, and I certainly don't have agreement amongst our commissioners in charge and our bureau directors on what the project looks like and if we are going into doing outreach to historic districts, for example, if that's included or not, et cetera.
And what's the budget for this project?
We have 2 FTE at BPS and at BDS. I'm not sure what it is because we haven't talked about it.
We'd probably have 2 staff, maybe half-time, working on it.
2 half-time staff and 2 full-time at BPS? Did I hear that correct?
2 full-time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I hate to be skeptical, but sometimes I think that we do these projects and we stretch them out because we want to keep people employed. We want to keep people busy. And I think I will really be disappointed if this is dragging on 18 months, 2 years from now, we're still talking about ways to improve the design process. And yep. I think we have a great consultants report here.
Yep.
Somebody who's sort of outside the market, mm-hmm. spent a lot of time talking to mm-hmm. all the commissions and boards you've already mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And when I say 18 months, I mean 18 months to effective date, not 18 months to get to city council. So it's 1 year to get to city council. But again, as I've said, we haven't begun scope, and we've been concentrating on what's in the report, having these discussions, and the next 2 months we'll be scoping and working with our commissioners in charge to move this forward. We're excited about a lot of the recommendations, as you've heard many people are. So we'll be in touch about that.
Okay. And then I'm rather struck when the consultant said that affordable housing was really tangential to this whole effort. Again, you know, from my perspective, affordable housing was really the genesis of this whole effort. So what am I missing here?
So we did have a sub-consultant working on the affordable housing aspect piece of it, and really we were trying to set the framework for all of design review, and as we've discussed, design review is a subset of development review in total. Unfortunately, we didn't delve as deep into affordable housing as we would have liked to. We certainly have in the GATOR process that Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Udaley have been discussing, and we've been delving deep into it in that respect. And like Mark mentioned, Leland Consulting Group has looked at the recommendations to see what the effect would be on affordable housing and has some findings in there.
That wasn't the genesis of the project, though, was it? I mean, the charge to the consultant was not see how design review affects affordable housing.
Right, so the
well, I guess, you know, it's probably not in your contract, but mm-hmm. I think the genesis for these discussions we've been having over the past year or so have been related in part to affordable housing projects objecting is too strong a word, but having strong concerns about mm-hmm. the time and expense of design review, the expense added to projects by design review. So I think, you know, if memory serves me correctly, and I'm not always the best on timelines, but there was certainly an axis of connection there.
If I could just add to it, I'm Joe Zender, Chief Planner for the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and there's an axis of connection.
Yeah.
What kicked this off was in the comprehensive plan, you may have remembered, the desire to increase try to simplify the ability to build in mixed-use centers was really most of it, where we're going to see a significant amount, 50% of the growth over the next 20 years. We need to build units. We need to build them in those places. We need to smooth that process. We need to meet community expectations. And one of the tools that was on the table, Commissioner, was let's use design review. And so we were saying we're going to expand design review at the same time. Like from the testimony you heard, there's constituents out there who, based on workload, which I think even the Design Commission would agree, and other factors, didn't feel like that would work. So we need Design Commission. We needed to settle that issue. That was one of the motivations for it. Mm-hmm. And then since then, also, we've gone through the GATOR process and this whole idea of the cost that actually, early on, you had hearings of this with the Housing Bureau here, of what kind of role that permit processes play in the cost of affordable housing. So it had two tracks from Mayor Hale's office. I knew we started with the one related to the comp plan, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'll jump into this fray, because this is a good fray to jump into. From my perspective, my priority clearly is more housing supply sooner at a lower cost with less of a hassle factor while not creating garbage that we're stuck with for 100 years. So I would actually say I'm very appreciative of all of the broad recommendations that take into account how to continue to, as Mark said, build community consistent with our values. But many of the recommendations that focus on streamlining, taking some projects that don't need to go through this intensive process out of the intensive process and focusing on those projects that do need, therefore taking what limited resources we have. And let's not forget the people who do this are volunteers for the most part. They have lives too, and they have to pay their own rent. So I want to be mindful of that limited resource as well and use that limited resource as effectively as possible. So I think in many regards we're achieving simultaneous goals here. But I want to cop to what Commissioner Saltzman is saying. I definitely am most interested in how to speed it up, streamline it, and reduce the cost and get more supply online. Just for the record.
Yep.
I would comment that I think I could tell you numerous occasions where more haste has been less speed, that if we don't give adequate notice, I mean, we've got the recommendation. Thank you, by the way, again, for your report and all the details that you went into. It's very helpful. One of them is a bigger public notice. Well, all the notice is to tell neighbours you can't really make a difference, then that's not actually going to help with our public process and public improvement in trust in our city. So we had lots of conversations during the comprehensive plan where neighbours somewhat gingerly accepted higher density with the promise that it would come with design guidelines, design overlays. And I think we need to stay true to that process. So this is a continuation of that and involving all of the communities, which not just the traditional ones, but those... I appreciate your comment about getting the notice to renters, for example. There's a number of ways that we can increase our outreach, but it has to matter that people participate if we invite them to do so.
Yeah, I love those recommendations as well. I agree with Commissioner Fritz. Before I got into the elective office thing, I was one of those people who'd walk by a site, and I'd always wonder, what's going on here? And sure, there was some process going on somewhere in some room, and it was probably even a very open, transparent public process, but I just wasn't into it at that level at that time of my life. And I always did appreciate when I was in another city, and they'd have a great bit, and we're seeing more of that here, by the way, where you have a great big billboard and often with a picture of what's being proposed there. And just simple stuff like that. I mean, you called it out. It's low-hanging fruit. It's sort of no-brainer stuff that we should be doing. And we do have to acknowledge that we've got a 50-50 split in the city between home ownership and renters. And all that, that is low threshold stuff that we should be doing just because it's common sense to do it, frankly. Commissioner Udaly, I hope we have not lost you. Are you still on the phone out there?
I am still here.
Fabulous. Yeah. I know it's sometimes awkward to do it by phone, so I wanted to give you free rein here if you had a couple of thoughts or questions.
It is a little awkward, but I'll do my best. Well, first of all, I just want to thank everyone involved for their hard work on this report, and I appreciated comments from a whole range of folks, even when there was tension or disagreement. I think these are really fascinating and vital issues that are coming up. And, of course, unsurprisingly, I'm also very concerned with how we are impacting development, and specifically development of affordable housing. And certainly our intention to streamline and accelerate this process, because while I don't, there isn't a consensus among developers as to the utility of design review, there's certainly a consensus that it's taking too long and that's costing them a lot. And so we are, you know, seriously looking at ways that we can improve that situation, but I'm just looking forward to reading this entire report again and participating more in the conversation as we move forward.
Very good. Unless there's Commissioner Fritz.
I do. I wanted to pick out a few of the themes that I heard to, I'm confident the staff have heard them too. So certainly the thresholds for the type of review is going to be a major issue that people will want to weigh in on. The entitlements issues is another. I appreciated Jeannie Gaelic's testimony about natural resources, and that hasn't typically been part of, except in the Greenway. And again, we need to look at the different plan districts to make sure that we don't say one size fits all, because the Greenway is a really good example of it doesn't. I do think we should be adding, looking at adding standards and guidelines that relate to both natural resources and sustainability, and then therefore adding, potentially adding to the commission, which might help, if we do the same kind of thing that we did with the Citizens Review Committee, increase the membership but keep the... quorum, sorry, it's getting late in the day. Keep the quorum the same but have more people there so that their people have more ability to miss a few meetings. So that I'd like to add that to the report is that element of, yes, design guidelines are more than what it should look like. It's how sustainable is it and is it protecting the natural resources? I do believe there's going to be a good discussion on the respect for the different contexts in the different areas, especially with regard to the historic districts, but probably in regards to each of the mixed-use areas and the corridors have, some of them have a very different character than others, and that's going to be important to neighbourhoods to make sure that that is maintained. And then finally, the collaboration between the commissions, design, historic and planning and sustainability. I appreciated everybody who took the time to be here from those commissions. And I, since you are the citizen experts, if those commissions can come to a consensus, or at least to lay out to us what are the areas where there's a policy choice that you want us to weigh into, that would be very helpful to me. So thank you very much. This is an exciting project.
Very good. Could I get a motion?
I would move to adopt the report, or accept the report.
Second.
So Commissioner Saltzman moves, Commissioner Fritz second. Is there any further council discussion? Hearing none, call the roll.
Saltzman.
Well, I appreciate the work being done here. As I stated, I just hope it doesn't take so long to get to the final product. And I just think that we spend entirely too much time working on things. And I know we love the Portland process, and we love Portland, but we've got to be able to tackle some good ideas from time to time and make those good ideas work. And that means working for the people who love the built environment, care very much about what the built environment looks like, and the people who live in that built environment. And we need to make sure that all sides are being listened to. But I think we can do that in less than a year, in my opinion. And that is more consistent, I think, with the urgency here. And I meant no disrespect for any of the commissions that are present today. My example about concerns over design commission and affordable housing projects are as related to me as my term as housing commissioner. I'm not casting judgment one way or the other whether those concerns are legitimate or not. But nevertheless, those are concerns that I've heard and have talked with the design commission about and numerous other people as well. I also wanted to echo, appreciate Jeannie Galick's comments, and I think that's something we need to look at too in terms of broadening the membership of the Design Commission and perhaps the Planning and Sustainability Commission as well. So thank you all for your work and work to come. Aye.
You, Daly.
Thank you, everyone, again for your hard work on this. I do feel these are vital conversations to be having right now. Our built environment impacts our minds and our spirits, our health, our safety, our livability, and I think it would be a loss to give up this input. I really appreciated the comments about engaging tenants. Thank you for that. And also the comment about just kind of elaborating on that, I think more outreach is key as we see time and time again the kind of shock that people are experiencing over this rapid pace of development. If they could have more of a sense of these decisions being something that they're participating in rather than things that are just happening to them, we may have a happier community.
Aye.
Well, thank you, everybody, for your report and for the conversation. as usual, land use discussions, I find them extremely valuable and important. In fact, after this, I'm going over to Metro, so I have another 2 hours of it, and I can't wait. The thing that I was perhaps most intrigued by was the graphs at the beginning that showed that 60% of developments who can choose the standards or the guidelines, they choose to go the guideline route. And I'm wondering, that needs evaluating as far as why is that? Standards are too rigid, or they're not the right standards, or in fact is design review something that developers feel like is going to enhance their project, and that they could have some discussions with the experts from the commissions, and indeed the way we grow does matter. I think that's one of the reasons that people come to Portland, is that we're not just saying slap anything up wherever you want to because we need more housing. We're saying you can do both. And that's, as again, what I've said last year. Throughout the process, we were saying, yes, you may be taking more density, and we're going to make sure that it fits in the context of the neighborhood and that it's got appropriate design. And affordable housing does not have to be ugly housing. And I know that Commissioner Fish would be saying that if he was here as well. So thank you very much, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioner Udaly. I'm very happy to accept the report. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I'd like to also thank Commissioner Udaly, and I'm sorry you weren't able to be here today, but I also appreciate the seriousness with which you take multitasking on important issues. It's been a pleasure to work with you on this, and I appreciate the partnership that you've forged between the bureaus to help make this happen, and I know we'll have to continue to collaborate going forward to make it happen. And I'll just add as a footnote, I appreciate the work that our bureaus are doing through the Gator session on another piece of this related but not part of the DOSA around the permitting process as well. So thanks to you, Commissioner Udaly. I obviously want to thank the bureau staffs. Mark, I want to thank you for your excellent consultancy. We heard a lot of great thoughts, ideas today, and they don't go onto the cutting room floor with the adoption of this report. I think people raised issues. I took copious notes about some things that captured my imagination and could be ideas down the road. But today I'm going to accept this report because I think it's the right steps in the right direction. So I vote aye. The report is accepted. And we are adjourned. I have one bit of just clarification for tomorrow. Tomorrow the City Council meets at 2 p.m. There is one item on that I am pulling. So if you're coming tomorrow to hear item 428, which is the goals to transition to 100% renewable energy, we're going to pull that back to my office to better coordinate with Multnomah County, and we'll bring it in the very, very near future. But that item will be pulled tomorrow, just FYI. We're adjourned.
So no testimony?
Correct.
Right. Okay.
On the issue of the 82nd Avenue Parade,
yes.
Nick had said you were trying to do something. That's fine. Oh, I wanted to say,